Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Today, we're talking Real Housewives of New York City, also Southern Charm, and it was Farrah-ween on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
We'll also be talking about Summer House. We have an interview with Kyle Cook and Amanda Batula. Plus, we'll be wrapping things up with Rose and Thorne. Let's get into it. Real Housewives of New York. I kind of want to skip just to the Miami trip.
So before we get into Miami, I want to talk about how the Giovanni thing is almost like the puppy gate of Roni.
Dear Diary, Dorinda apparently didn't get enough love for the introduction to Giovanni.
It just won't go away.
Like you're over Giovanni.
Yeah.
I think Dorinda's over Giovanni.
I mean, she doesn't even want to hear it uttered, but like, of course, Luana's trying to drop it into the show, into her cabaret. And it's just sort of like they've talked about it. They've moved on past it. I mean, Dorinda never really apologized totally, which I think is why Luann like is still holding on to it a little bit. But just let's let it rest.
Do you think Luann should be able to talk about whatever she wants in her cabaret?
Yes and no. I think she should because she is telling her own story. And that is the sort of gimmick of the whole thing is that she's sort of poking fun at everything that has happened to her. And that's kind of the point of it. But I feel like if somebody like Dorinda asks you respectfully not to put her in, then you shouldn't really put her in.
But then like goes right for the lawyer's letter.
Right.
I guess I'll get my lawyer to write a letter.
Cease and desist coming your way. I was like, oh God. Okay. Well, anyway. Okay. So that's that. Miami.
Okay. Oh boy. So we already have in the back of our minds this accusation from Luann that Sonia might be on something, that she's been really manic, which I actually think Sonia just seemed like Sonia.
Do you find that Sonia's like really uppity or is it just me? It's like,
you know, oh, she's manic. Like,
oh, I saw her at your house in Kingston
and I rode home with her.
Well, at the restaurant, she was screaming.
Yeah, that's and true. At the restaurant. Like, oh, at the restaurant, alcohol, she was with the alcohol and whatever else.
Is there something
she
else?
Was maybe she is taking something else. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
I think she's always sort of been that way. I think maybe Luann took it way more personally because she fully interrupted and was uninvited to that rehearsal and sort of derailed everything. So I think Luann was a little bit more sensitive to it in that moment.
Yeah. But regardless, Sonia goes straight for the welcome drinks. Who doesn't?
Of course.
And it's really tipsy really fast.
Really fast, and then everything seems to just snowball from there.
But also, Dorinda being quite toasty herself and making a, what was it, a getting ready drink? A dressing drink?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, I love how she acted like she invented the mojito.
Right. Well, it's the same thing with, like, Ramona a few years ago when she was, like, referring to, like, I want, like, a vodka drink with, like, some soda and then a little bit of lime or a little bit of lemon or whatever it was. It was like, that's just everyone orders that drink, Ramona. That's not new.
Which drunk housewife do you think you are? Like, of all the housewives.
Of all the housewives, not even New York. I feel like... Well, now because I'm thinking of the most recent episode of Potomac, before this week's anyway, with them turning up at the 90s party. Like, am I a Robin Dixon? Like, the one who somehow encourages the party to go past 3 a.m. And then I do kind of, like, black out. And then I wake up the next day and I'm like, oh, I'm never doing that again. But then I do it again. So I don't know if I'm actually Robin Dixon. Who are you?
I think it depends on the company I'm with, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like for the most part, like maybe a toned down Sonia where it's just fun and happy.
Right.
But then you mix in a little bit of Brandy Glanville.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
Well, because we were talking about your drunk persona. We had our very first summer Friday, the day before Memorial Day weekend, where the office closes down at 2 and we frolic in the streets because we're so excited. I remember we were talking about... You were like, how do I get when I'm really drunk? And I was like, you just get really smiley, like all the time, you know, like there's not really one sort of behavior or another other than you're just kind of like happy and silly. So I want, is that like, I don't know. Who is that?
Who is that? Yeah. Who is like silly when they're drunk?
Like Bethany?
Maybe.
I feel like she gets a little bit more like silly and loose. Like just thinking back to the most recent trip to the Berkshires where we saw her Instagram story and she was just like, we all needed this. We're having so much fun. I love this. Like that's how I feel like you were at your birthday last year when you were just like so excited that everyone was together and we were just dancing and having a good time. So maybe it's Bethany.
Yeah. Yeah. Dancy. I get dancy.
I'd like to think you're not Sonia, just given her behavior in this episode in particular.
But like aside from her embarrassing moments, didn't you just feel like she's a fun person to be with when she's drunk?
I feel like as long as you're at least her level of drunk.
Oh, smart.
Or above, you know, like when you're below, especially when Luann's kind of talking about it, like through sober eyes, you're just like, oh my God. But if you can manage to like be on Sonia's level, being together with her at that point must be amazing.
It has to suck to be the sober one, especially when they're getting that crazy.
Right. I mean, to even like the housewives who have gone on trips when they're pregnant and like can't drink, it's just sort of like you don't want to be in those environments if you're not able to sort of
partake.
Exactly. Do you think that Sonia actually ended up peeing in the tub and they cut away, or someone like Tinsley convinced her not to do it?
Oh, I mean, it could really go either way. I kind of hope she did pee in the tub.
I kind of do too, because you know what? What is a tub other than a big toilet?
Toilet? Oh, God.
No, okay, no. She should not have. I hope she didn't pee in it. I hope somebody stopped her. I don't know. What do you think Sonia meant about Barbara being a space cadet?
I mean, well, when I say it to people, or like it means you're just out there and like spacey.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what she meant.
Because I don't really feel like Barbara is that way.
No.
And in the after show, Sonia actually mentions, like, they ask her about it. Like, do you remember calling Barbara a space cadet? And she was like, yeah, because she is a space cadet. And then her follow-up, like, doesn't really make sense as to what we would consider a space cadet. So I'm kind of like, what does she mean by that?
Well, okay, so everyone should go watch the Roni after show. It's on BravoTV.com because they ask Sonia about the rest of the things she said. Like, mm-hmm. You said that Bethany and Tinsley aren't sexy.
We're not as hot as you or something.
She doesn't remember that.
No.
Didn't remember a few things. The Roni After Show features exclusive clips with the ladies every Wednesday at 10 p.m. right after the episode. Here's that clip.
Do you remember calling Barbara a space cadet when you were drunk?
Yes, but Barbara is a space cadet.
So you stammered.
That's in my regular vocabulary. When it comes to Barbara, she's a total space cadet with no boundaries.
Do you remember telling Bethany and Dorinda that they're not hot?
That would be stupid. I don't remember that.
Go to
sleep. You guys are not hot.
We know we're not hot.
That's beyond drunk.
I don't remember that either, but...
Yeah, you sure that happened?
I'm gonna knock you out right now.
I was gonna knock Bethany out? I probably thought I was speaking to Barbara. I was seeing double and feeling single.
Because you usually fine guys.
No. Guys, mushrooms are delicious.
You got any guys that you haven't out and you're gonna share with us?
She says that sober.
I say that sober. I always tell Luann that she fucks my guys. It's always on my mind and it comes right out.
When Sonia drinks, she's sort of an all or nothing girl. You know, when she drinks, she goes for it. It's a party time. And then she can totally not drink for a while. You know, when she lets loose and it's a girl's trip, she lets loose. So God knows. But you know what? The thing is too, Sonia with alcohol, she doesn't drink it as well. I think I have a higher tolerance than she does. That's the thing, too. I actually, sometimes when she is very, very drunk, I don't realize that she is that drunk because Sonia is just kind of like wacko kooky anyway.
It's hard enough for me to stay sober, and then to have to witness this being sober is just very hard. I've been around a lot of drunk Sonia in the past, and it's not easy because it's, you know, you have to put her to bed, you have to take care of her. It's not just the ha-ha, let's have a good time with Sonia. There's a lot of care that goes into this project after.
And the other thing with calling Bethany not as hot, we know that that's not true. And we know that Sonia thinks Bethany is beautiful because she's tried to make out with her so many times. This season alone, she keeps defending her against like Barbara when Barbara wants to like creep into Bethany's room in the night. Sonia's like, no, stay out of her room. She's mine. So we know you think she's hot, Sonia. Also, it's not my rose this week, but the moment where Sonia held that beautiful note when saying Dorinda's name.
Dorinda!
Dorinda!
I was like, where is she going with this? And at first I said to you earlier, I was like, I thought maybe the editing was like looping that longer than it was, but you could hear the background noises still carrying on around. I was like, oh my God, this woman.
It was funny because I was at the reunion when they were filming and they showed that as part of a package and just like everyone was dying.
Well, my favorite thing too that we're going to see next week is, well, obviously not Sonia collapsing is my favorite thing, but watching Tinsley and Ramona walk by the stretcher and the ambulance to get into their car to go out that night. Like, they're like, see ya.
That was insane. What did you think of that fall?
It did not look pleasant at all.
Oh,
I mean, and she kind of referenced it. You guys might remember when she was here a few months ago at this point for an interview, and she talked about how she kind of got very drunk on this trip or whatever and took a little fall. She compared it to like a horse whose legs just give out from underneath and she just like flat out collapsed onto the floor. I mean, it doesn't look like it was very pleasant, and especially the fact that she like has no idea who the president is, like that could be a concussion. So that's when you do have to call.
Well, at least she said Bill Clinton. I mean, it wasn't a made up person.
Right. I mean, I don't know if she was like thinking it was like years ago or if she like forgot about the election.
As they say, Sonia lives in the past.
That's true. Ooh, that's psychological. The tide might be high, but the Below Deck Mediterranean Season 4 crew is holding on.
This time, the Yachties are sailing to the south of France to take care of their over-the-top charter guests' requests.
There's a bunch of familiar faces setting sail, too, including Captain Sandy Yawn, Chief Stew Hannah Ferrier, and deckhands Joao Franco and Colin Macy O'Toole.
And we also have Third Stew Anastasia Sermava, deckhand Travis McKalzik, deckhand Jack Stirrup, and Chef Mila Kulamitseva, the first female chef in Below Deck history.
Megan, there's also been an update since we last seen the crew. Joao is now a bosun. A big congratulations to him. And he'll be in charge of an entirely new batch of deckhands.
But before you set sail, we want to make sure you're up to date on all the past salty happenings.
You can now stream the past 3 seasons on your Bravo TV app.
That's countless hours of big yachts and big drama and an even bigger ocean.
Download the Bravo TV app on your iOS or Android device today to recap everything Below Deck Mediterranean.
And make sure to catch the Season 4 premiere on Monday, June 3rd at 9, 8 Central.
Bon voyage! So, Southern Charm. Catherine bought herself a Rolls Royce.
Ugh. That was my first note. It's just like eye roll, eye roll, eye roll. You don't need a Rolls Royce unless you, not even, like, even A-list celebs that have them. It's just so over the top.
Right. And I feel like driving around Charleston in particular, you know, it's going to be
2 little kids.
Obvious.
Single mom. It's right. Just, no, it doesn't make sense.
We have an interview with Catherine coming up. On the show, so you guys will hear it soon. And she does kind of make reference to the fact that her spending habits did get a little bit out of control. And, you know, she kind of, we all have to remember, and she reminded me in the interview, like, I'm still very young, like, I'm still learning. You know, obviously, she's probably been getting a lot more money than she's ever had in her life. And so she's still kind of learning, I think, about it. I think the Rolls Royce maybe is no longer a possession of hers. But right now in the moment on the show, we see her with this really expensive apartment, with this Rolls Royce, and kind of everyone else being like, hold on a minute. Like, where is this money coming from? And why aren't you being smarter about your investments?
Okay, well, we have to talk about Madison.
Yes.
I don't know. I just got, you know, pulled aside by, you know, Shep and Craig tonight about things.
Thanks.
What I've heard is that a friend of yours reached out to this guy named Gentry and said, oh, my friend Madison thinks that you're hot and do you want to hang out?
What did you think about her friend reaching out to Gentry, who's Danny's boyfriend?
I mean, extremely sneaky. And I think it's Craig who even says in the preview for next week's episode that she's like a professional at this in that she knew to have a friend reach out, not knowing that Gentry had a connection to the group. I mean, Gentry is a handsome guy, but if you're caught up in this relationship with Austin, after everything the two of them have been through, you're going to go ahead and jeopardize it again.
that's why I don't think this relationship is, like, worth saving.
Right.
There's just already been so much stepping out.
Well, going off of that, it's almost like I feel like we have this back and forth, and we have a lot with the guys so far on the show. You know, whose fault is it really? Like, yeah, Austin cheated first, but then she cheated on him. So it's sort of like just kind of going around and around this, like, toxic behavior. And so honestly, at the end of it, I don't really trust either one of them in the situation. But what I thought was interesting is we had a listener reach out to us talking about the sort of good old boys mentality, mm-hmm. where when this situation happens with Austin and we see at the end of the episode, like, Shep and Craig coming to him with the information and kind of, you know, encouraging him what to do and sort of call her out. And do you think that, like, Austin is obviously justified in confronting Madison about it? But then Madison does sort of own up to it also after some real pulling.
But is that okay? Like, yeah, it's good to admit your mistakes, but you still already did it.
Right. And she was sort of like, well, nothing came of it, so it's okay.
No, that's not how fidelity works.
That's not how it works. And then, you know, he goes back in and Shep and Craig aren't really the best at comforting him. Like, you can tell Austin is pretty upset about it, but also pretty drunk probably at that point because they had been out for a little while. There had been shots. You know, so I understand, like, them trying to be, like, bros about it. But I feel like they weren't also kind of giving Austin the validation of, like, okay, you were invested in this girl and you have feelings for her. And, like, I'm sorry you're upset. They were kind of just like, oh, let's have a shot and move on. But I guess that's how guys do it.
No, but Shep said, why does he care about her so much? I've never cared about anyone that much. And it's like, Shep, you're alone.
Right.
Why do you care about her that so much? I've never cared about anybody like that.
Obvious, Shep, because you are still single. I mean, it was such a Shep. And I think that goes back to this good old boys mentality, you know, where it's sort of like they're always kind of putting themselves first in all of their relationships.
Right.
It's not getting them anywhere.
No.
What do you think about Catherine's new boyfriend being a politician and all of that?
I was more concerned about the headlines that they kind of flashed on the screen this episode about him, right?
It seems like she's barking up the same tree.
Exactly.
In some ways.
It is so weird how people kind of are attracted to chaos in a way. I mean, because how could you go from such a disastrous relationship to someone who seems going through, keep in mind, a different type of scandal, but also the same, you know?
The thing that she did clarify, though, which I thought was interesting, was he's a Democrat, though.
Apparently I have a type. He's a senator.
He's a Democrat, though.
What?
So was she trying to differentiate him from her previous relationship? Or was she sort of being like, oh, yikes, he's a Democrat? Like, I didn't really know which angle.
I think she was differentiating him.
Right. So she was sort of like, yeah, it's similar, but it's different. One thing I did love that I wanted to add to about the scene with the boys at the end was when Craig ordered a Narragansett and completely mispronounced it.
How did he say it?
I'll have a Narragansett.
The Gansett?
Yeah, please.
And how do you say it?
It's Narragansett, which is a place in Rhode Island. My dad used to work down there, and I've had, like, their beer before. And I've known of the place, like, growing up. But obviously, you know, it's a tricky name. There's a lot of vowels and consonants all put together in a strange kind of way that you don't see all the time. But I love how the server also just corrected him. She was like, oh, yeah, a Narragansett? Mm-hmm, no problem. It was just so Craig of him to be like, a Narragansett. Oh, one more thing I did want to ask you about for Southern Charm is Chelsea's dating situation, where she's sort of with this boaty, yachty type of guy, Nick, who is off sailing for a few months. Do you think that's an ideal relationship for Chelsea at the moment, or do you think it's just convenient, the distance?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the opposite of convenient.
Yeah.
But unless it's, like, convenient for her to not have to deal with someone, I would not be into that.
Right.
The whole purpose of being in a relationship is the cuddling.
Yeah.
You can't cuddle someone when they're on a boat.
That's true. She does have her whole house that she's working with right now, though. So, like, maybe she's sort of taking this time to, like, be in a committed relationship but still maintain some independence.
I don't know. I think I may be too needy. Because when people say, I just have a lot going on, I have too much going on for a relationship, I'm like, who doesn't have time to, like, get into bed with someone?
Right. You can find the time. Right. You should always find the time.
You gotta eat, you know?
Well, it's also one of those things where maybe Chelsea isn't really at the point where she's overthinking it. And her dad's kind of the one, I think, who brings it up to her. Like, is this working for you? Is this sustainable? Like, do you see this going somewhere? And I feel like those questions don't always arise when you're in the moment until somebody else calls it out for you.
Right.
So I'm kind of in for, like, whatever works for Chelsea right now works for Chelsea right now. Let's let her have it. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, great episode.
Yeah.
We have Farrah Ween, which I've been waiting for a really long time because I knew we were going to get some more of my fave, Kim Richards. But what I wanted to talk to you about first was everyone's been saying, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, mastermind, she's been manipulating people, all this sort of stuff. Is Camille the real mastermind of this season? Ooh. Not that she's necessarily, like, pulling strings or whatever, but she's kind of really moving the story forward outside, like, away from this Puppygate stuff and sort of really stirring it up among the ladies.
Do you, like, with the people quote?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird.
Right?
It's weird to have breakfast with all the ladies and say, yeah, I didn't like that Lisa Vanderpump wasn't at my wedding. That's not cool. And then secretly be giving a quote that's like, LVP is my biggest supporter and I love her so much.
Yeah. And we've seen her talk behind so many of the women's backs this season already, to Lisa Rinna, you know, to all sorts of different people in different situations. So is she kind of really the one who is giving us some real kind of old school housewives drama? Lots of shit talking.
A lot of shit talking. Should we get into Farrah Ween?
Absolutely.
Okay, what did you think of Lisa Rinna's Erica Jane costume?
She absolutely nailed it, crushed it, owned it, in her own words. And I thought she looked fantastic.
I mean, the eyes creeped me out, but yes, she looked fantastic. Anyone that uses the blue contacts, aside from Paris Hilton, it, like, freaks me out.
Yeah, that was a little bit intense. But what I appreciated about it was the commitment. Because, as you know, in my past, I really take a lot of pride in my Halloween costumes. This past one, I did Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair from Cruel Intentions with Danny. Absolutely crushed it, if yeah. I do say so myself.
You did.
In the past, I've done Lindsay Lohan as Liz Taylor as Cleopatra. So I appreciate, you know, the real commitment to becoming something or someone else. Because when do you get to do that? You don't get to do that often unless you're, like, a drag queen professionally. Do you know what I mean?
Well, in the after show on BravoTV.com, Rinna said that she prepared for weeks for this, because, like, she had to get into character. She really went method acting with it,
which we did see a lot of.
Yeah. Half the puss, honey.
Which we will get into, but yeah, compared to the other women, like, the fact that there were three different kinds of cats.
Dorit's was the cutest idea, though, because at least she and her husband were going as Karl Lagerfeld and his cat.
I will say that did work, because I did think PK looked great as yes. Karl. I thought that was really funny. I expected more of Erica.
Yeah, I know? Agree. But you know what? I feel like she's kind of always in costume when she's performing. So for her, it's probably not as big of a thing.
I guess. But I feel like her whole nature, her whole thing is over the top, you know, like, ridiculous. I wanted to see, like, a Lady Gaga meat dress or something, you know, like, really go for it, Erica. But I guess you're right. Maybe she, in between touring, didn't have a lot of time to throw something together. But, you know, the whole, like, sexy cat thing.
Right, it's
like,
been done.
But it is Beverly Hills. So even, you know, I was going back and forth on Kyle's costume because it was sort of like Playboy Bunny. Okay, but it is Beverly Hills. Like, the Playboy Mansion's a famous, you know, place in Beverly Hills, Sunset, whatever. I kind of get it.
Yeah, but Kelly Bensimone's already been a Playboy Bunny.
Oh, it's true.
So.
So maybe she was actually Kelly Bensimone as a Playboy Bunny. I don't know.
Kim's costume I didn't love.
Well, you know what's so funny about that is I had, when it first cut to her coming to the party, I was like, oh my God, she's Britney Spears from the Me Against the Music video, right? Okay. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's specific. That's right up my alley for a costume choice. And then someone's like, oh, wow, are you a gangster? And she's like, yeah. And I was just like, oh.
Is that you? Are you a gangster?
I'm a gangster.
Oh, my God.
That's not what I thought was happening here.
Yeah.
So I was a little let down. And I think at least she didn't go like overly sexy gangster like one could. But I did. I was hoping for something different.
Can I give a fun fact?
Yeah.
So for Halloween, as you know, Aaron and I went as Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson.
Right, I meant to call that out as well in terms of like channeling something specific, character, whatever.
Thank you. But Teddy Mellencamp had commented on my post. She said, this is what I wanted to go as, but Edwin wouldn't do it, and ended up going as Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Okay, so they really, really should have done Pete and Ariana. I really wish they had done Pete and Ariana. That would have been so good.
Would have been so good.
Oh, man. Well, as you had mentioned, Rinna was in character this whole time as Erica from the second she walked in through the whole experience right up until the end. And in character, she made a few comments.
Right.
To Kim Richards.
I thought what you did with the bunny was real c***y.
You know what? I want to say one thing, Kim. You giving Lisa Rinna that bunny was really c***y.
Which, I don't know where you stand on the whole thing. I appreciate her being in character. I kind of love that. But do you think she was using that to take some digs at Kim?
Yeah, and also Erica would never say that. She doesn't have any beef with Kim.
Right, especially at this point, because that was a few years ago now.
Yeah.
Like, a few years.
And I actually wish I had seen more. I mean, here's the thing. In her sobriety, Kim is a much calmer, I think, person.
I know. And I do appreciate the way she sort of took it and still stood up for herself. And was kind of like, it was sort of an awkward moment for everyone. Because it wasn't like Rinna as Erica was kind of making jabs at everybody, which I think would have been more in jest. And then maybe Kim wouldn't have taken it as personally because it was sort of everyone would have been involved. But it did seem like an attack specifically directed at her because there was no one else.
Right.
That she was like jabbing at. Well, then we also see that when the girls step aside and start discussing it, Denise comes to Lisa's defense.
Isn't it a stuffed animal that we're talking about? And you know what? It really hurt her feelings.
That is a lie.
It did. It's not a lie. It's not a lie, Kim. Well, it hurt her feelings.
But Lisa is the one who brought her into this group. They've been friends forever. She probably sees the whole thing from a different point of view. But I felt uncomfortable watching Kyle get so upset with Denise.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of appreciated that Kyle came to Kim's defense because, you know, it is her sister. I feel like there have been some instances in the past where Kyle is like, I can't keep defending you. Like, these are your actions, Kim. But in this moment, she felt the need to be like, that was unnecessary. That was uncalled for. Kim didn't do anything. She's just standing right here. And I also felt like Denise was kind of flirting with the idea of her first, like, housewives fight, you know, because we haven't seen a lot of tension or drama between her and any of the other women so far this season. Like, she's kind of been so much more of a, like, lighter, almost like a comic relief, you know, the one that's sort of relatable to the audience. And this was her first time getting a little bit involved in a fight, but she didn't really, I think she was kind of grasping at straws a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But either way, we got a sit down between Rinna, who chose to get out of character for the conversation, and Kim Richards. What did you think about that?
I think that we've seen this before. Like, they have made up before, and then it goes back to the old stuff. So
right.
I don't know. I take it all with a grain of salt.
I do, too, because I feel like, fundamentally, they are probably never going to get along, that they're just the type of people who just don't really like each other and will never, if not now, will never understand each other for whatever reason. So I like that they sort of made a truce, and it seemed like they were both, you know, present and in the moment and had the conversation. They were like, we don't want to fight with each other. So then, like, let's leave the bunny in the past and post it up at the clubhouse where it is right now. Well, I want to talk about this episode of Summer House, too, because you sat down with Kyle and Amanda. So I figured we should probably set up exactly what happened in this episode.
Right. So Paige and Carl are kind of going at it at dinner because Carl's saying that Paige has been leading him on. And she's like, how dare you? Just because I've made out with you doesn't mean I owe you anything. All of this to say, Amanda gets upset because Kyle interjects. And Amanda's like, who are you to say anything? You've cheated on me.
Exactly. And it sort of comes out of this alleged revelation that Carl gives in the car on the way over, where he tells Kyle, like, oh, Paige was dancing up on me and she was saying all this stuff that she wanted to have sex and whatever. So Kyle just inserted himself into the conversation, trying to defend Carl, but also putting words in Paige's mouth that really pissed her off and then in turn pissed Amanda off.
Right.
Yo, I've never said that.
All right, then he's lying to me.
I'm not lying.
Hold on a second.
I mean, I do think they're just at a sensitive point in the relationship where anything that happens, Amanda's going to find a way to relate it back to Kyle being a dick.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what happens post-cheating. So,
and there is a lot going on, but we're with them each right now. I mean, they're looking for a new apartment at the moment, so they're trying to plan a move, which is definitely one of the most stressful things you can possibly do. Plus, we know that Kyle is sort of sitting on this ring and wants to propose to Amanda, but then all of these things keep getting in the way of that. And then even Stassi is sort of like, maybe now's not the right time to propose.
Maybe it's not the right time to propose.
And it sort of looks that way, and I feel like Kyle, as he drinks more, it just gets him more emotional about it, and then he doesn't really know how to fix it because so many things have gone wrong.
Right. So he just ends up bawling most of the episode.
Off on an island by himself, like stranded on his kayak. The one thing that he said that kind of drove me a little crazy was, all she wants to do is scold me, when he was referring to Amanda. And part of me was like, if that's how he feels, then okay, let's validate that. Let's say, okay, maybe Amanda does scold you all the time. But do you think it's because of the way you behave and maybe that behavior needs to change?
Right.
Like, I don't know if we've really seen that switch in him. And I almost want to compare it to, like, Brittany and Jax, where this whole last season of Vanderpump Rules, we've really seen Jax, whether he has changed or not, that's kind of TBD, and that's where everyone sort of stands on it. At least he is talking about it, and he's putting it out there, and he's saying that he's working on it, and he's been going to therapy. I don't know if we've seen those steps from Kyle. So I feel like it kind of makes sense.
No, totally.
Before we go into the interview, I also wanted to ask you, at the beginning of the episode, we see this argument between Hannah and Jordan because she finally confronts him about his lying.
I honestly don't know your true side. You're, like, trying to perpetuate this lies. All these lies aren't true when the real Jordan is the Jordan I love.
Have you ever known someone to be a pathological liar? Or someone who was, I should say.
No. Like, if they are, I don't know it.
Right. Okay, so that, to my point, I've known, I think, at least two.
That means that that's like a you thing, right? Like, you're attracted to
attract
that type
them
of
for
person.
Some reason. Well, and one of them was someone I was somewhat in a relationship with, but another one was like a friend of mine. And the really frustrating part about it, and I really could relate to Hannah in this moment, was it's all sort of stuff that you can't really call the person out for because you're either not there or you might not have that information. Like, people that I've known have been like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, on this private jet the other day with Kesha, and it was just, like, crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, that could have happened, but
right.
I don't have any proof of it. I have no way to argue against it, and it's sort of one of those things where something inside of you instinctually tells you that they're not telling the truth, but you have no evidence to back it up, so you kind of just, like, accept it and let it go, and I feel like that's exactly what we've seen with Jordan this season. He's like, oh, I almost took home a hooker last night, and we're like, well, that didn't get caught on camera, so did that happen?
Right.
Or, like, something about, you know, a threesome or something. Like, all of the things that we've seen him say this season have not really added up. So I do appreciate that Hannah kind of took him aside and was just like, it's hard to get close to you. It's hard to really know what's real and what's fake, because I feel like you're making things up.
But by the way, like, we didn't get to a resolution.
That's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, until he sort of
admits it
and kind of comes to terms with it, which he might in next week's episode, because we do see in the preview that he has something that he wants to share with everyone. So
I want us to find out where Kyle and Amanda are today in their relationship. I sat down and talked to the two of them together, and it was interesting. Got some answers to my burning questions. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Kyle and Amanda from Summer House. How are you?
Excellent. Top of the morning.
Yes. Tired.
I know. I'm so tired. I'm going to start with a moment that's been on my mind since I saw it. And that is Jordan walking in on you peeing, going back for a second look.
Nothing like the double take.
to echo your sentiments, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't even know what I was doing in there, because that's Carl's bathroom. So I was just a wandering Christmas tree. And then I just kind of assumed it was a typical bro moment. But then he doubled down. And that's when I turned around, and I couldn't remember if I was pretty drunk. And I was like, wait, did the cameras catch that? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle told me about what had happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought, like, it's just his imagination. Like, it, you know, he's kind of overthinking it. And then when I watched it actually play out, I was like, that was very obvious.
But it was,
he definitely just sized you up.
It was quite the moment.
It was also interesting because, like you said, you were drunk, and even in your drunkenness, we're like, that was weird.
I think, all right, so to give Jordan credit, the Christmas tree does go down to, like, my ankles.
Right.
So thinking back, which I couldn't really do in the moment, I'm guessing he was like, wait, how do you actually get your junk out to pee?
Yeah, but
with
he
a Christmas tree
he
on.
Was smiling. Like, he but had he also, a smile on his face.
He licked his lips and looked at the camera.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, that's what... The first take should have given all he needed to figure out how I got the pee stream.
An explanation works too. He doesn't need to, like, see it firsthand.
it was pretty funny. I mean, those are the moments where you love the fact that we're on a show, because you don't really remember how they went down, and you're like, oh my god, that's classic.
Amazing. So this season we had a lot of new people come in. Some people leave. What was it like for you guys? How has it been with this new group of people versus the last group?
For me this summer, it was a lot better. I felt a lot more confident. And just having, you know, more people my age, people that I can create friendships with as Amanda, not as Kyle's girlfriend. And, you know, just having a fresh start, I think, was really important for me. Because last summer was a lot. It was a roller coaster for our relationship, for all friendships. And, you know, it was stressful on top of everything else that happens in life. Just, we needed some fresh meat.
Fresh meat, what do you, Carl? Yeah, I just to kind of echo that, I mean, for me, I don't think I've had a falling out with a single friend in my entire life. And the one thing that I sure as hell am pretty confident about is, like, my summer needs to be fun, as I say pretty often. I'm not going to do a house with people that stab me in the back. So pretty straightforward. You know, there was a definite need for some change of scenery. Mm.
And you're still feeling good with the group today that you live with, you know, in this season?
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to watch everything play back. You're catching things you didn't quite have, you know, access to or you were privy to. But yeah, we're 10 times more solid at this point this year as a house than we were last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there are any issues, I think everyone's really good at faking it. we've all been very civil and friendly, you know, with each other. But I think we, for the most part, everyone is really close and good friends.
So who do you have to fake it with the most?
Not me. I'm just saying maybe there's other people that are just kind of,
don't
you know.
Be shy. Don't tease us.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Me.
I think it's always interesting how some people sum up their feelings, you know, why they might do something or justify their actions. And so, like, you know, just coming out of the gate, the way Lindsay kind of explained her, you know, her kind of like resentment towards me, or you know, tried to justify why she would unfollow us. I thought it got kind of simplified down to something that never really made sense. Like, you're not going to unfollow Amanda if you're upset with me as a friend. And so I just thought that the way that was kind of explained kind of left me scratching my head. You know, it was much more about Instagram. It was much more about the email. It was everything that led up to the 17-page email. But now we went through a summer together that was like a crazy, crazy ride, particularly for me. I'm sure everyone feels the same way. But yeah, it was like great to have people there kind of supporting me. But other times I felt like I was alone on an island, which actually I was. That's coming up.
So we're getting into that point of the season where things are going to get tough for you guys. And I want to know what conversations you had before the season even started of how you were going to handle having to relive those moments.
I think after season one, when I had to rewatch Kyle like making out with other girls on camera, I just kind of learned to like cope with it and see it more as like a therapeutic moment when, you know, you're watching it back and it's kind of like that chapter is finally closing at that point. So, you know, watching this stuff back, we definitely do it all together. But I mean, it's never easy. We definitely still have had some little tiffs.
Oh yeah. That's the big perk of reality TV. You can have the same fight again once you watch it.
Yeah, I'm like, see, you were wrong. He's like, no, you were wrong. I'm like, how is this still, how can we still not figure it out? But yeah, I think, you know, we know who we are and we know our truth and we know, you know, what really happened, at least, you know, in our eyes. So watching it back is just kind of like entertainment.
Yeah. And I think, like Amanda said, I mean, we've kind of gone through this twice before, some hard moments to watch in both season one and season two. So we just watch it together. And then I try to not get into that same fight.
How did you guys get through this, though?
Like, while it was happening, or? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy. I don't even know if I have an answer. I always trust my gut, and I just, you know, Kyle was patient with me and all of my feelings and emotions and, you know, whatever I threw at him that day. But, like, I knew that I wanted, you know, to be with Kyle and that we were gonna make it through. Like, I just felt that, like, it was right. So it took some time, and, I mean, I think I still, you know, throw some shade at him every now and then, and I'm like, what about this and what about that? So we're still working through it in a sense, but
yeah, I mean, for me, to be honest, I'm not sure how I made it through last summer, because there was stuff going on that she didn't really understand or know about, particularly like looking for a ring, trying to figure out how to propose, trying to confirm that her dad would even talk to me. You know, it was crazy. So I like look back, and like I literally got sick for 2 weeks after the moment we stopped filming. Actually, it was like the last night in the house when we were still filming. I like had a flu for 2 weeks. I've never had a flu during the summer of my life. I think my body was just like, it's just like, oh my God, have we made it? Okay, done. So it was stressful. I mean, there was the apartment, there was the ring, there was the business, then there was like the proposal. I mean, it was like,
there was the rumors.
There was rumors. There was like, yeah, on top of like a cheating scandal, as it's been called, and then a cheating rumor. So it was just like more than most people have to go through in a given year or two, all in like 11 weeks.
And then relive it all.
Yeah. Well, lastly, I want to know about Loverboy. Give us an update.
So yeah, It was like a crazy sprint to develop the brand, thanks to Amanda, the product, and then actually do a production run last summer so we could have it in the house, have like 100 friends try it. And then I spent the fall and the winter trying to like actually understand the alcohol industry. It's pretty quirky. And now we're fundraising. So we are literally raising capital from investors so we can launch this summer.
Yeah, we get messages from people all the time wanting to try it. Where can they buy it? Because they saw it on, you know, the show. And we're like, that was just...
And some people see it and they're like, what is it? And I'm like, okay, it's a sparkling hard tea with zero sugar. So as you said in a caption the other night, you can... Something about no regrets until you're drunk or something.
I didn't say any of that, but...
It's like at least the first decision you make, yeah, which is grabbing a lover boy, is not the one you're going to regret.
Yeah, no.
Which I thought was clever. Well, come on, it was something like that.
I'd have to look it up, but... but yeah, people are really excited about it and not quite sure why it's not out yet, but we did do that pre-run just, you know, to share it with our friends and have it this summer. But now, you know, we're hopefully going to be officially out.
Yeah, it'll happen at some point this summer.
Of 2019.
Yeah, it'll be, we'll fine tune that. But yeah, it's like, you know, if you're going to try to look after your body during the week, why just consume tons of sugar in your drinks during the weekend? So that's the premise. It just took a couple years in the summer house to figure out what I needed.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for stopping by.
Of course.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
My rose was absolutely from Southern Charm, and it was just drunk Craig and Shep trying to give drunk Austin relationship advice, and Craig being like, you have to do it on a Tuesday. You can't do it on a Monday. If you're going to break up with someone, it has to be on a Tuesday.
Not today.
Someday. Yeah.
Tuesday. It's always going to be a Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Who came up with that rule and why?
I'm not sure. And it was a Tuesday, so it did work out.
I know. It was so funny. It just made me laugh. What was your rose?
My rose comes from Real Housewives of Potomac, and it's kind of two parts. And the first one is Giselle's relationship with her daughters, because I really appreciate how kind of transparent she is with them and how she really prioritizes letting them know what's going on with her life. She kind of sits them down and she says, you guys know I'm going to therapy, right? And you guys know things didn't work out with me and Sherman, right? And they're all kind of like, yeah. And she kind of walks them through what's going on with her emotionally, and she's open about journaling. So I appreciate that transparency and kind of keeping her daughters in the loop and letting them know it's okay to go to therapy. It's okay if relationships don't work out. So I appreciate that side of who Giselle is. And then she takes them off to show them, you know, at the expo where she's showcasing every hue beauty. So I appreciate that. And the second part of my rose is the kind of like Top Chef moment that they had when they were in New Orleans and they were taking the cooking class, and how like fast paced it was. And the guy was like telling them to like, oh, now the butter, like mix in the butter with this. And they were all kind of like on their own stations, like frying things up. I loved that. What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Real Housewives of Potomac, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I raced to get an early cut of this episode because I thought we were going to see the aftermath at the Uncle Lump party. So I like got this cut. I sat down to watch. I'm like, no, we're just racing past it. Because I mean, I guess we'll come back to it later in the season, but I wanted the continuation of that.
I did too. I didn't feel like I was rewarded for, you know, tuning in that moment, because, you know, Robin and Candace talk to each other on the phone, and both of them like have it in their back pocket. And in like true non-housewives fashion, they don't bring it up to each other. Like normally when anyone's sitting on something like that, they talk about it immediately. So I was just sort of like, ooh, why are we waiting? I want that moment to come. But I think we're going to see something very soon. So my thorn comes from Summer House, and it was the sound of Carl and Kirsten making out in the upstairs pantry, aka his closet. I just like, I don't need those sounds. It's like ASMR, but like not pleasing to the ear. And my other thought is, what is with Carl and like small confined places for making out? Is the bed not acceptable?
Well, he doesn't want the cameras to catch
him. Is that
him.
What it is? Yeah. It's the cameras?
And maybe tall, like little rooms make him look taller.
I guess it is to hide from the cameras. That makes sense. But still, it's sort of like, let us have the makeout session if that's all you guys are doing. But maybe that's not all they were doing.
Mm. And next week, we have interviews with Candace Dillard Bassett from Real Housewives of Potomac and Catherine Dennis from Southern Charm. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.